Okay, let's go to two more questions. We'll go from one side. Tim, you have a question, and then gentleman over there. Yeah, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, before we do that, I did promise you the next question. Yeah.
Waving away here. Am I on mic? Hi, I'm Chris. First off, you've mentioned straw men a couple of times, and then throughout the entire debate, you've been criticizing atheism when the discussion is on secularism, but you knocked that straw man out of the park. Like, well done. The second part, sort of the main issue, in Northern Ireland, our problem comes when our legislators govern based on disputed facts. Being sort of sensitive on that one. You believe something. You believe that the former Pope is wrong in what he said about Mary. You believe that churches across Europe who say they've got Jesus' bones are wrong. So, as someone said, there's a billion different versions of Christianity. Maybe not a billion, but your version is right and others are wrong. And our legislators believe the same. What I believe, and I think possibly a lot of secularists might like, is when you're governing, it's fine to have a faith. There's a famous phrase, and you've probably both heard it, which is, religion is like a penis. It's fine to have one, but if you shove it in people's throats, you're going to have a problem. I want my legislators to govern how best they see fit. I'd like them to justify that decision, preferably without reference to something that is intangible, mentioning Jesus, the Bible, metaphors, which we'll not get into that. If you can justify why you're changing the law in a health department, which in Northern Ireland is dreadful. My question is, do you think legislators who have faiths should be able to justify their decisions based upon non-faith reasons?
Well, thank you. See, sorry for waffling. No, it's okay. I'm a preacher. I'm used to waffling, so don't worry. You said we were talking about secularism, not atheism. No, we're not. We're talking about whether Christianity is holding back Northern Ireland. That's what we're talking about. And you said there was a very interesting thing, because, for example, I mentioned Christian secularism and people just laughed, because obviously secularism means something different for them. I don't think it is an oxymoron, but never mind. Because I think secularism is purely about separation of church and state. The unfortunate thing about secularism, and there's many different versions of it, as there are different versions of Christianity.
It is a term that historians use. Like Christian humanism is a term also used in the historical
world.
But there are different meanings.
No, there are Christians can support secularism, but there isn't Christian secularism.
But I think
I'm arguing for Christian secularism, but never mind.
Yeah,
I'm entitled to do that.
You
however,
are, yeah.
however... What you said there was what you said there was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's precisely the same reason.
No, it's not.
The term is the term.
Can I? I was asked if I'm using the term, I should define it. What's the difference between atheist secularism or Christian secularism or secular secularism or whatever? One of the answers is simply this. As a Christian secularist, I don't have faith, the faith that you seem to have in human reason and the ability to work everything out in the way that you do. Now, you just described something there which was fascinating, because you said you want your legislators to be able to come up with facts and reasons and so on, and they'll do it in terms of information. I'm sorry, but I'm a historian and I studied politics as well, and that's fantasy land. That is absolute, total fantasy land. Politicians vote according to their electorate. They vote according to opinion polls. They haven't, and I'm not saying this to bring up the same-sex marriage thing again, but I found this. When I debated with politicians many, many times, almost none of them had thought through the actual issues. They were voting on the basis of faith, emotion, opinion polls, what they thought their constituents would or wouldn't want, what the press would do, and how much hate mail they got.
Two more final questions.
You can talk about what some people might call a Christian secularism, which is the secularism that evolved from the battles between Catholics and Protestants post-Reformation, and they eventually figured out that rather than continually killing each other, that it would be more appropriate to try and come up with something that enabled both Catholics and Protestants to coexist within a society. But that is different, I wouldn't call that Christian secularism. I would call it secularism that has evolved from Christian societies. We now have a different type of secularism, which is based on recognizing the equality and and inherent dignity of every individual, regardless of their religious or non-religious belief, and that is based on human rights principles, equality before the law, freedom from discrimination, freedom of conscience, religion, and belief.
Thank you. Penultimate question. You want to make a statement?
Yes.
Oh, well, let's let you make it. Phone over there, yeah. Okay, Tim, I know you're a vicar. Would you mind if this lady had your question? Yes, you can't really say no to that, can you? Yes. Go ahead.
Hello. I just want to say I'm a Christian, and I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think it is so important for Christians to present their ideas with grace. And I think some of the things you said, David, about atheists, about Americans, is not presenting your ideas with grace. I have friends here that are atheists, and I think if Jesus were here, he would want us to present our ideas with grace and not come across in any way arrogant. That's all I want to say.
Do I have to stand up? hello. I suppose it's to both of you. It's kind of a... Again, the gentleman with the hat over there, it's a kind of a different spin on what he was asking. Oh, sorry, Belfast Barman, I didn't know you. So it's to you both, I know, of an idea of where you might go with this. Back to Northern Ireland. It's just that in a democratically elected society where you're, you know, where the politicians are representing the views of the entirety of Northern Ireland, do you think that it's acceptable that those politicians can decline to vote on issues that are important to its voters? And that's to both of you.
Because just so it would probably be easier for you. If
yeah, same-sex marriage would be.
Oh, we're back to same-sex. We're back to same-sex.
But
marriage.
But that's just an example. I really am not focusing on that. I'm just saying I'm thinking of Northern Ireland politics now and in the future. And you're talking about the effect of Christianity on Northern Ireland society. You know, so I'm saying for I mean, you can't have a different rule just for same-sex marriage. You know, so the question's for any kind of vote like that. Do you think you should be able to abstain from voting? Now, I'm not saying you can't say yes or no. You should be able to abstain from voting in a democratically elected society, based on, I suppose, in this case, Christian beliefs or any beliefs, you know?
They're entitled to abstain, but I think that they should only abstain on genuine reasons if they don't know what the right thing to do is. But this kind of tactical backing out of voting, it's unfortunately based on the compromises that were necessary to move away from decades of terrorism, which ended up with a kind of strange version of democracy, which institutionalizes sectarianism by forcing people to choose particular identities that may sound political but are actual identifiers for religion as well. And I think we need to move, however it happens, we need to move beyond what will hopefully be a transitionary phase of this strange democracy that Northern Ireland has at the moment. And and I'm confident that it is happening. I used to come up here when we were involved in campaigns against the IRA and the loyalist paramilitaries years ago. Northern Ireland was a much more sectarian state. It really was in terms of just the people. Now the politicians still haven't caught up, but the people, when I come up to Northern Ireland now, it's so different in terms of particularly young people and people who want to move away from that. So I'm actually quite confident that we will get there, but it will require more institutional change to get away from what I hope is a transitionary, you know, Belfast Agreement style government and towards a more reasonable democracy.
David, do you want to say something on that?
Yeah. I agree with Michael completely on that. I don't understand how, if you've been elected as a politician and you have views on something, that you don't vote according to that, no matter the stick or what politics of it or whatever. And in particular, if you feel that in those views you want to represent your constituents, or you may feel it's a particular thing you want to represent a particular point of view, you should only abstain if you genuinely don't know. To abstain in order to avoid hassle or trouble or whatever is sheer cowardice, and I don't know who you're referring to, whatever. But for me, that I mean, I'm not.
What it is that they're using political mechanisms that were put in place for one reason, for a different reason, politically.
Maybe I'm too much of an idealist in this sense. But stuff political mechanisms. You should vote according to what you think is right. and you should have the guts to stand up for your convictions. And I whatever the implication behind your question, and it seems to me that you don't think that, I agree with you then.
I think this is a little muddled, because I think what we're really talking about is the use of the petition of concern by the DUP. So let me just explain this for you, David.
Okay.
The Assembly.
You want me to criticise the DUP?
No,
okay.
I want you to understand the context.
Okay.
Which was that the Assembly had a vote,
yeah,
and by majority they voted in favour of same-sex marriage.
Yep.
But because of one of the mechanisms of our agreement, which allows a veto for a party with more than, who can get more than 30 votes, yeah, the DUP blocked that vote and said that they did so because of their commitment to Christian understandings of marriage.
Yep.
So they have blocked a majority vote of the Assembly on the basis of a Christian commitment. Is that legitimate in a democracy?
Well, first of all, where's the abstaining bit come in? I don't understand.
Well, I think that's probably what you were getting at. So park the abstaining bit.
Okay.
It's not an abstention, it's a veto.
Well, first of all, if that's the system as it was set up, then obviously they're entitled to do that. Secondly, if they're legally entitled to do it, then that's fine. They're not abstaining. They're standing up for what they believe in.
Sorry, there is abstaining in that, members of particular parties.
Yeah, but listen, everybody in a democracy has the right to abstain. That's not controversial at all. But for the purposes of tonight's debate, what is controversial is if you believe in democracy, how can you support the use of a veto for religious reasons, which overwhelms the majority view of an assembly? That's the question.
I would vote against it before. But mind you, I think a lot of people who are voting for same-sex marriage are voting for their particular faith reasons as well. But I would vote against it because I regard it as being detrimental to the good of society and the whole of society. That's why I would vote against it. People may want to dispute that and so on, but I do get a bit fed up of the emotional bullying that goes on that says, if you're against same-sex marriage, you're automatically homophobic. I think that's very, very, very unfair. I've got very good reasons why I would vote against it, and I do think that we are going to reap the consequences of this, and I think the kind of mob rule that's gone on in this is really quite disturbing. That's anti-democratic as well. In a democratic society, people should be able to express their opinions without being called names and abused.
I'm just taken by how often same-sex marriages come up tonight.
Yeah,
from so many parts of the audience. Has this, Michael, in your judgment, has this issue become almost, as David said, a definitional commitment of a progressive person? You can't be progressive unless you're in favour of same-sex marriage.
I would think that. Yeah, I think we've gone through this in the Republic of Ireland. The Republic of Ireland, astonishingly, if you imagine even 5 years ago, the idea of this being the case, that the Republic of Ireland this year became the first country in the world to introduce same-sex marriage by popular vote as opposed to by the court or by Parliament. Now, that's made a huge difference in the Republic of Ireland. And one of the most significant things about it is almost by definition, most of the people that voted for it are religious. If you look at the figures in Ireland. So I think it's a very good example of mostly Christian people voting for essentially a secular understanding of civil marriage.
All right. Do you have a brief response on that?
Very briefly. Yeah. I wish that we had had a democratic vote in Scotland on the same issue. And when we petitioned and asked for the Scottish Parliament to allow a referendum on same-sex marriage, it was very interesting that all of those who were for same-sex marriage didn't want it, and I wonder why.
Ask a question.